It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 1065. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
That'd be a little seafood shed.
Yep. Best cooking on the causeway.
Yes. You know, and Rise and Shine breakfast now on Saturday and Sunday mornings, too. That's awesome. But, you know, hey, man, they got the new hot fishing all over there. I hope Nick gives us a call tonight and kind of brings us up to date on all of that. So.
Yeah.
And a new menu, so we're Ed's is kicking and growling.
Yep, I tell you. Well, we got a new year kicked off. It's time. I'd say it's time to make some changes. You know, but what the heck? We are who we are. So we just move on with it. Right?
Move on. Now, I know there's some people out there that's had car problems over the holidays. So maybe they'll give us a shout and see what's happening.
Yep. I'm trying to get the text machine up and working here. It's like I said in the past, this is the slowest computer I think I've ever dealt with, but. It's getting there. I'm getting it. A little at a time.
Yeah.
But
you know, there's a guy out there that I'd like to talk to. If he'd give me a call, I'd like to see what's going on with the Goodville place out there. That's Rapid Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right in the middle of all of that. And they do an awesome job with a lot of people. But and when I was out there, they were doing taking care of shredding papers and stuff like that. I don't think they do that now, but they also were they had some job capacities for some of the people that were doing like fuel filters and some oil filters, maybe for some the big diesel engines and all where they use the paper inner filter.
Yeah.
So if you're out there, Rapid Rake, give me a shout out and let's see what you guys got going on out there at Mr. Goodwill place.
Yeah, they've got a really neat thing going on out there. It's you know, they're helping a lot of people.
They sure are, you know,
in need for sure.
I went in there in one of those places and they were giving me a tour, and somebody said, "Hey, Mr. Tom, how you doing?" I went, "Oh," I looked around, you know, to see who it was that I knew that was in there. And it was a guy that I've been knowing for 25 years, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And he had progressed to such an extent that, you know, he was he knew who I was and everything, and he remembered me. But
right.
His abilities of taking care of himself and all just weren't there anymore. So he was, you know, having to his family had to put him there.
Right. Well, you know, and I've had some. At least one family member that's had to, and I say had to, that's had the privilege of being able to go there and work and earn some money to, be productive. You know, it was a really great deal for him. You know, there's nothing like having a reason to get up and go do. You know?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, and they've got to keep their mind occupied, and if they can keep their abilities up to snuff and be able to do things or build stuff, and there's some of them there still going to some classes and being taught different things. So, I think it's a very unique situation that they have.
It is. You know, I'm just impressed with how they. Just everything that they do on that, you know, it's they're teaching a skill. They're giving people a reason to get up and get going in the morning.
All right.
And do.
Oh yeah,
giving them, you know, like I say, it's just like when you retire. If you don't have something to do during the day.
Right.
What are you going to do?
Right. There you go.
You're going to sit at the house in front of a TV.
You know what happens? Just like that lady was talking about on that program in front of us, you know, they're walking the street homeless,
right?
And they have nothing to do, so they, you know, they get in trouble,
right. So, you know, it's a great program, no doubt. But I assume everybody survived the New Year's.
Well, I certainly hope they did.
And you know, we had a good month last month. We moved a lot of vehicles at UJ. Still got a whole bunch of new inventory sitting there. They're about run out of places to park them. They are running me crazy trying to get them all prepped and
out front. I see undoubtedly the pipeline has been filled and caught back up to date, because I've noticed in several of the General Motors dealerships around now, they've got vehicles parked everywhere. They must have been cranking them out and got that inventory back up to full speed.
Yeah.
Especially putting the new 20s years models in there.
Well, and that's the thing is, you know, we were blessed with the ability to, you know, have some forethinking people that purchased some vehicles early before the strike.
Right.
And we kept that inventory going. But we've also kept up with our orders on the 20 model stuff. So I think, matter of fact, I got out of my 19 model truck so I could get in a 20 model because they had a buyer for my 19.
There you go.
Yeah, they had some good deals on the 19 model
stuff.
Oh, that
was an awesome truck, too.
Woo. Yeah, yeah, I like that truck.
I love that truck.
Yeah, yeah, it was a very pretty truck.
I hadn't had a chance to look at this one. What you driving?
This one's a 20 model Silverado. It's a, you know, the crew cab, four-door truck. Two-wheel drive this time. It's first two-wheel drive I've had. But it's a really nice truck. It's dressed out kind of like a four-wheel drive with the – it's the RST version, which has got the painted grille and all that like the Z71s have. Very nice-looking, very attractive truck. So, but it looks like we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Yes, good evening, Mr. Claxton, Dr. Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Ray.
Rapid Ray. Yeah, go ahead, Kev. Well,
Ray, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Yeah, just wanted to say I enjoy your show and appreciate what you do for the community around here.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate it. It's, a lot of people probably don't believe it, but Tom and I don't make a dime off of doing this. We do it because we enjoy doing it, and it's a help to the community, we feel. And I know it's nothing compared to what you're able to do out there at the Goodwill. But why don't you tell us what you got going on out there right now?
Yeah, we provide help for people who want to get their GED. Also, we provide training for the individual with obstacle in getting jobs, and it's all free. You know, we all also help people to do income tax return for people in the community. That's free.
Yeah, I tell you, that's
programs to help people with the different, you know, different situation. We even go to Metro Jail and help individuals over there to get their GED.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people don't understand what all the Goodwill organization does. You know, they just look at it as a place to drop off stuff they don't want anymore. You know, but that's just a small part of what you got going on.
Yes, sir. Those donations helps us to provide services in our mission services, and we also, in case you have a surgery, we have medical equipment. I know Mr. Claxton has donated to us with the different medical equipment. We provide that free to the individuals who need one.
Right.
Well, you know, I've had the occasion to donate some that I had received from some other individuals through some of the sicknesses and all that a couple of my ladies had gone through. And and then I was also blessed to be able to go to your Goodwill location there, and I think it's on Schillinger's Cottage Hill now. Is that location still there?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Randy Henry, he's in charge of the medical equipment.
He's a walking miracle. You know, this guy is just, he's blind. And he's waiting on the public, and he's he knows. I saw him. I sat there and watched him put some hand carts and stuff together one day. I'm going like, really? You know, and he's feeling to see if he needs a Phillips head screwdriver or if he needs a flathead screwdriver. You know,
right.
And he knows where he laid that, and he goes back and gets it. You know, but
yeah.
It'd be interesting to continue with this story here. We've got to take a break now.
Yeah, but I also wanted to add. After Marguerite had knee replacement, she went by and got a free cane from Goodwill, and they said, keep it as long as you need it.
There you go. Yeah. Well, they got the little scooters, too, when people have those operations, you know, that you can put your knee on and still get around and all.
Yeah.
Right.
So keep up the great work, Ray.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, and we depend on the community to donate to us, and we, in turn, turn around and and provide services to people who live in this area.
And provide jobs.
Exactly.
Well, Ray, I appreciate you calling in tonight, and I know you're always listening to us, but we do appreciate everything that you do for the community.
Thank you so much, and appreciate and enjoy your show every week.
All right. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Ray.
Have a good night.
All right, you too. We're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Took my money as he stirred at my Corvette. He said I had one just like her son in 1963. Hell, a man down at the bank took her from me. Oh, she was hotter than a $2 pistol. She was the fastest thing around. Long and lean, every young man's dream. She turned every head in town. She was built and fun to handle, son. I'm glad that you dropped in. She reminds me of the one I loved back then.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And I did get the computer up and running. Yeah, I guess I wound on it long enough for it to finally wake up over here, but
we're going to get new rubber bands for that computer.
I would appreciate that.
Now.
Well,
appreciate
that. That's coming with all the new equipment for the new studio, Charlie. So
yeah, okay. I think this one we're operating on Windows 95 or something.
And
I'm
we're
going
to
sure
get younger hamsters to turn the wheel.
Yeah, we got to get rid of the old retired hamsters and we got to put those out to pasture and get some new ones to turn the power wheel, as you say.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
Oh my Lord, Charlie. Yeah, that's what I'd say when my phone drops out somewhere, My hamster got tired.
Yep, I tell you.
Little guys can be helpful.
I know, man. You know, those suckers, they just get on those little old wheels. They make all that power.
Don't take holidays.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know, They still like to be fed, though.
Mm-hmm. They do that.
Don't we all?
Have you ever had them get loose in your house?
No. You never did the hamster thing.
You know the way you find them? You just go and close the door and sit in the room and just make everything dead quiet and listen, because they'll be somewhere in the little corner or in their deal and they'll be scratching or chewing on something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can find them then. You kind of follow the sound, The kids and the grandkids, we went through all that.
Oh, I'm sure.
You just reminded me of a story, Tom, and I don't know if you were the one. You might have been the one that told it. Somebody called in, and it may have been on this show, talking about a senior prank in high school, and this was over at, I think, Fairhope High School. And they snuck into the school during the night, and they had bought three little baby pigs.
Oh, my Lord.
And they painted numbers on their backs, 1, 2, and 4.
Uh-oh.
And they turned those little pigs loose in the school building. And for weeks, they were still trying to find number 3. And I thought that was the best prank I'd ever
heard. So cool. They got them numbered 1, 2, 3.
Four.
Where's 3?
Yeah.
3.
Oh, yeah, 1, 2, and 4 turned up pretty quick.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, yes.
Not that we're trying to give anybody any ideas on what to do with senior prank, but
no, you can go to jail for that now.
Oh yeah. They don't take kindly to that.
Well, there
anymore,
are some students who will actually maybe have a reason to have a key to the building.
Yeah.
You know what? I just learned a while ago about all these new sophisticated cameras and everything. I believe I heard on that other show.
It'd be hard to pull that off now.
But when you
you'd have to I, put I've
little
seen
some cameras that did some videos. That it looked like they were taken back in 1896.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But now, those things are getting so sophisticated with all of the very minute cameras and all. Hey, look at our phones and the cameras we got in the phone now. I mean,
quality pictures. You
would have had to pay $700 or $800 to get a camera that had the capabilities of our phones now.
Right.
And they're so minute. So
Well, you just put masks or hoodies over the little pigs' heads.
Come on, Charlie. Right. You got hung up on a pig deal there, didn't you?
I'm telling you.
I'm sure somebody's got a car problem out there. You know what? We're going to start talking otherwise. You know, about
they may have traded them all in over the end of the year specials.
Well,
that everybody
yeah.
had,
you well, and somebody ended up buying the used ones. So I mean, they're still out there somewhere. They didn't just crush them because the original owner got rid of them. So they're running the streets. They are running the streets somewhere. But
that being said, if somebody trades in a used car. Do y'all have a certain year span that you would keep a used car on, like a new car dealership? Do they say, well, we only have top 6 years or top 5 years of cars, and anything else like that we would take and sell at the wholesale or,
or whatever? It really depends on the car. I mean, we've had some out there that were, 10 or so years old.
Really?
But they were, pretty much low mileage, pretty clean vehicles.
They were really nice cars.
Yeah,
and you try and cater to all your customers that and all their needs because, not only do we want to sell the new stuff, but we want to sell. It may be your teenage, child's first car, and you don't want to put them in a brand new vehicle right off. So maybe that's the opportunity for a little bit older vehicle that's still viable, still a good vehicle, still in good shape, but you're not spending a fortune on it. I mean, I'm sure you went there, I know I went through several accidents and rebuilds on my son's first truck. That's a typical typical teenage thing, and believe it or not, he never killed one, so. He made it deathly ill a few times.
My son tore up some good vehicles. I had remember that El Camino he was driving? And he went through a curve a little bit too fast and jumped the curb and tore the front end out from under it and, ripped the A-frame arms and all that. Tie rod ends and all out of it. So we put it back to the shop. We rebuilt it and all, turned it loose about, I guess it was 6 o'clock that afternoon. 8 o'clock, he called. He tore it up again. I'm going, like, you're gonna walk for a while now, baby.
That's right. Hope you enjoyed that ride this afternoon.
Yeah,
that's the last one for a while,
there, baby. Yeah. And you know what was the bad part about it?
Mm-hmm.
Same damn place, same curve. I think he.
But he thought you were gonna fix it better this time.
Well,
it was supposed to turn.
I think he thought that he had figured it out from the last deal when he wrecked it on that curve.
Knew what he needed to do the next time.
Knew what he needed to do, but that didn't work either.
Back to the
use. So now, if you get an earlier model car, does in most occasions will the dealership will they take those cars and wholesale them to car wholesalers?
We don't know a whole lot of wholesaling as far as to like wholesalers that make the rounds to all the dealerships. Most of our stuff goes to auction.
Okay,
and we sell it at auction. I've seen over the years to where you get too many buddy-buddy deals, and, if you pay me a little more for this one, I'll help you out on that one and all this, and it just sets up a, just a snowball going down a hill, it builds. And
if you run it through, you run it through an auction. Then if you don't like the price that's on the auction, then you just pull it out,
take
it, sell it somewhere else, or bring it back to another auction or whatever. But you have control of that. But if you've got somebody that's got a couple of buddies that he's selling the cars with on the side, and next thing you know, he's got a $50,000 boat.
Right. Well, and there's too many buddy deals that go on that way, and it never works out well, except for the people that are the couple that are doing it. The people that actually own them don't work out well.
No, it don't. So, now, the other thing is, if you decide to keep the car on a lot, and due to the age and mileage and all, do y'all have some serious check program or list program or something?
Well, it goes through the same recondition inspection that all of our vehicles go through. You know, that being said, you know, we may not fix every, you know, button and switch and whatever on it, but that's understood and disclosed to the customer what, you know, we found. And, you know, this is what you're looking at. You know, right. If you buy a used car, sometimes sure. You bought a used car that's got right. some age on it, you know. But, you know, the key thing is that you know up front what you're getting into. And, you know, I mean, it's just like me. Over the years, I bought a bunch of stuff that, you know, maybe they wouldn't have put out on the lot,
right,
but, you know, it was something that I could buy or drive or turn around and use for a while and
sure.
then
yep.
trade up and do something different. Yeah.
You know? Yep. You know, I've bought vehicles like that, too, from a dealer that they got them in on a trade-in, you know, and they're getting ready to get rid of them, and somebody calls us, hey, man, they got this good ride here, you know, they want X amount of dollars for it. I say, yeah, well, I'll tell them, hold it for me, let me go look at it.
Right,
you know?
Right, absolutely. We do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what can we do for you?
Yeah, I got a good question for you. I got a high fuel trim. It's reading 99. It should be reading between negative 15 and 15. I got it's an 06 Toyota Corolla with 209,000 on it.
Right.
And I believe it's coming out of the aftercat. 02 sensor, and I've cleaned the mass sensor, and
right.
I've got acceptable readings on that. I got mm-hmm. a new PCV valve,
mm-hmm.
and I bought a used. I had a cat replaced in 2014. It was used, and it was guaranteed for 2 years.
Right.
I cleaned the throttle body and the air intake also. What do you know about that?
Well, you know, one of the things that you always have to remember is the downstream O2 sensors, which are the ones behind the converter. They are only there to monitor the converter. Okay, they do not control fuel mixture in the car.
Okay.
So it's always the upstream O2s that control your fuel mixture. Because you can't actually take a reading behind the converter after you know fuel and that has been burned off of the exhaust stream and try and adjust the motor based on that. But it sounds like you have a lean condition, so it's adding fuel. You know, you're going to have to look for vacuum leaks. And, you know, it could be something, you know, look around for oil leaks as well because it could – I've seen just the O-rings missing on the dipstick too, but the oil cap can cause a lean condition mm-hmm. because they're actually pulling a vacuum on the crankcase on most of these motors now. Mm-hmm. So if it's not sealed off properly, I've seen valve cover gaskets, you know, pull enough air in to where it causes lean condition. Purge solenoid can also do it. You know, not sealing off when it's supposed to. You know, they're pulse width modulated, which means their on and off time is modulated by a computer. So if it's not sealing off when it closes, then it's constantly flowing air or pulling fumes off the tank. Well, after it pulls those fumes off long enough, it's really not pulling any fuel out, and it can actually cause a lean problem from that. So you just have to do a little due diligence and look for vacuum leaks. If not, it could very easily be the injectors themselves just not flowing properly. Yeah, because it's, you know, there's a map built in the computer that takes into account, okay, it knows this motor should use this much fuel and it should have this much on time for the injectors at this RPM, this load. And if it still sees it lean, then it has to start adding fuel.
Now I heard recently that it would be a good idea to, with that many miles, to go ahead and change out the fuel filter.
Right. Well, and it is, absolutely. If it has not been changed, yeah. I mean, you can definitely create some flow problems there for sure. You know, and you know, make sure your fuel's clean. Make sure you've got proper fuel pressure and a good flowing fuel filter to make sure all that is working properly. everything on this thing has to work together. If one piece is wrong, then it can definitely create some issues.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. I appreciate you listening and calling in. But thank you. But I think, Charlie, aren't we about running out of time here? We're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside the darkened door where blues won't haunt you anymore. With a brave, heart, free, lover's soul, come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate, break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But we've been talking about, I don't know, we actually talked a little bit about cars, not a whole lot.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, this is, we're getting into the cold months. I mean, I know we've already had some cold weather, but, you know, it's prime time for critters to be getting under your hood and crawling around on your cars.
They're looking for, they will get up under your hood and get on that warm motor.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But then they get hungry, and for some reason or other, they start eating.
Well, they get bored, and they're just sitting there, and they'll start chewing on things. And it's, you know, and I see it quite a bit on the motors that have the plastic covers that make it look pretty under the hood when you open the hood. You know, they'll get up in there underneath that, and they'll start eating on the insulation, and then they'll move on to the wiring and that kind of stuff. And
it's not necessarily rats. I mean, rats can do it. It's usually squirrels, isn't it?
Squirrels are the world's worst about it. You know, it's and you know, basically a squirrel's nothing but a cute rat. But
that's all they are. Yeah,
but it's I don't know. They're it definitely causes a problem. You know, and then you get into. I've seen it several times where I've seen the inner wheel wells ripped out of them and wiring and stuff all chewed up. Yeah. Well, that may be your dog or someone's dog or whatever trying to get to whatever got in there.
Right.
Yeah, and they'll tear, destroy some stuff, you know. So if you have the ability.
Sometimes a cat will get under there and a dog will try to get into him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a. It's amazing because you know, you remember the old 70-mile Chevelle convertible I had years ago. It was in the backyard one day, and you know, I had a golden retriever and a chow at the time. And
oh my goodness!
Apparently, a cat had gotten in the backyard and had got scared, got on top of the car to get away from them. Well, they run around that car.
Tried to get up on it. Ooh, they tore all the paint up on it.
Well, they scratched it up. Luckily, it was able to get buffed out. But, you know, that was the only reason they survived that one, I think. But it's
well, let me tell you, amazing
they survived that.
And, you know, and we everybody has this problem in every neighborhood with all these feral cats that are running around. They like to crawl up on the damn hood and up the windshield and get up on top of the car.
Right.
Now, I don't know whether they're trying to stay away from something that's bothering them or whatever, but a buddy of mine just bought him about a $70,000 new Ram pickup truck.
Right.
And had a special paint job on it. It's got like gold flake and all that stuff in it. And some neighborhood cat's been up on it. And it's, you know, and he's scratched it coming down. So,
right.
Sliding off on it or something. So, you know, he said, I hope it'll buff out. I said, I don't know. You know, you start messing with that metal flake that's in there.
Well, and most of these things do have a pretty substantial clear coat over them. So as long as it didn't get too deep, you probably can. But there's a limited number of times you can get away with that.
You know, yeah. If I had a truck like that and a feral cat or a cat got up on it,
mm-hmm.
I think I'd be sitting out there with my pellet gun.
Yeah. You better be a good aim because you might be buying a windshield too.
I can do that. I know how to aim.
Yep.
I've known back in the years in history, there's a lot of antifreeze that was used.
Yeah.
That's, you know, not a good way to do it. Not legal either, I don't think. So.
No, and pretty much all the antifreeze nowadays you can't even do that with. So,
yep. So they didn't have
it. They took all the chemical out of it. So, but yeah, mm-hmm. Honestly, there's not a good cure for keeping, you know, animals out from under the hood of a vehicle. I've seen people try everything in the book.
How about
cayenne
those little
pepper
mothball
and mothballs, and you know, it's just nothing really seems to work.
Yeah.
You know, and once they get in there, they'll get that smell, and then it just attracts more. Then if you do get them in there, you got to make sure you clean it really well. Ooh. You better get to doing some pressure washing and degreasing under the hood to get rid of all the odor. That,
if you get in there and for some reason or another happen to die under that hood, you are in trouble, friend.
Yeah. It's under the hood's not as bad. Don't let them get in the car.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Have seen them get up in the air conditioning duct work and that.
My Lord.
And can't get back out.
You got to kill the car.
Yeah. You got to take the car apart. Yeah. To even attempt to salvage that, but you know, it's not a good thing. You know, it's always best to try and keep your car inside an enclosed garage if you have that opportunity. You don't want to let it sit.
A lot of us don't have that. Have that pleasure. So
yeah,
I've got a cover over mine now, but still, that makes the darn cats get up there that much more. You know,
right.
Just as sure as I go to the car wash and get the car all cleaned up and everything, come and put it under the carport, then the next morning, cat tracks are all over the windshield, across the hood, and up on top of the roof and everything. You know, so.
Oh yeah. I've got one of those at my yard. So it's it's tough to deal with for sure, but just have to try and watch out for it, and don't always assume that something mechanically went wrong with your car. If we see it fairly regular that a customer bring a car in, I've seen it with almost no miles on it, brand new vehicle, and hey, I've got a check engine light on, or it won't crank, or it won't do this or that or whatever. And open the hood and is like, hey, I think we got a problem here.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but luckily that is something that would be covered under your full coverage insurance.
Oh, it will?
Yep, they will take care of
now,
it.
Now, is that something that you have to buy extra?
No, it's part of the
full coverage,
damage insurance.
Well, for years, you know?
Well, it really all depends on
what kind of coverage you have.
Yeah, so, it'll cover it just as long as you got full coverage on there. I'm sure they'll put a limit on it if you use it too often.
I wouldn't think so, yeah.
But, hey, it's it is what it is, yeah. Let's see. I got a text here. Need some cam numbers, 453, that won't detonate bottom end and still run on pump gas. That's there's a whole bunch of factors that go into that, one thing is, are you willing to change valve springs? Are you going to try and run the stock lifters? Are you still going to run the production intake and exhaust manifolds? Or are you going to do some upgrades on all that? As far as the bottom end, those motors are pretty tough. Yeah, they'll the crankshaft's good to like 1,200 horsepower. Yeah,
dang.
I've seen the rods and pistons that come in them take up to close to 600 horsepower.
Whoa!
So they're pretty tough bottom end.
So
you really don't have to get too crazy with it.
But you just have to decide how much you're going to put in the top end to go along with the cam.
Right, because you know, what you don't want to do is get into a radical camshaft and the valve springs can't keep up with it, and you start getting into either a bind problem or a float problem with the cam, because the more aggressive you get with your duration, you will have problems controlling the valve train, which can cause some real problems. But sound like we're going to need to take a break, and we'll be back after these messages.
Big wheels rolling, moving on. Big wheels rolling, got to keep them going. Big wheels rolling, moving on. The white line is the lifeline to a nation, and men like Kix and Ronnie make it move. Living like a gypsy, always on the go, doing what they best know how to do. Jamming gears has got to be a fever, those men become addicted to the grind.
That's right.
It takes a special breed to be a truck driving man, and a steady hand to pull that load behind. Big wheels rolling, big wheels rolling, moving on.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106.
Charlie brought up a question there a while ago about... Why are we seeing so much unleaded
or ethanol?
No, non-ethanol gas in a lot of the stations now, more so than we used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a new line of gas stations. The name escapes me right now, but they're all over town, and they all have a button for gas without ethanol.
Yeah, and there's some people that prefer the non-ethanol gas in their vehicles. Most of our later model injected vehicles are designed to run that fuel with ethanol in it, and it's fine with it.
Right.
You
know? Yeah.
Where you get into a problem is if you've got an older carbureted vehicle that can't adjust itself at all, and it may be a classic vehicle that you drive every so often. It sits somewhere for periods of time. That the ethanol is not real friendly to the fuel systems in those vehicles, especially the carburetors themselves. It will start to corrode up pretty quick.
That classic lawnmower too, and that classic
wheel. and you have all the small engine and the marine applications and stuff that's mostly was what it's for.
So Kevin, would you say, all right, if you've got a car that was manufactured, say, in the last 5, 10, 15 years, you should always stay with the ethanol gas?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say that you have to, but you can run the ethanol-free fuel in the newer vehicles. In a brand-new vehicle, it's fine.
Cost you more.
It's going to cost you a little more. You'll get a little better fuel mileage because you don't have to use as much of it to make the same heat, which is all you're doing when you're – burning fuel is generating heat and turning it into motion. But the ones that you need to think seriously about not running the ethanol fuel in is the older vehicles that are not set up to run that.
If it's got a carburetor on it and a manual distributor on it, you don't really need to run the ethanol.
Yeah, and I've got a couple old classic cars that I run just regular, ethanol, 10% ethanol gas in without any issues. They're tuned for that,
But you have specifically tuned them for that.
I've specifically tuned them for that, and I drive my cars. They don't sit.
They don't sit. Well, that's where they really get messed up is when that ethanol, which is alcohol, and it's sitting in that carburetor on our aluminum.
Yep.
Carburetor or any kind of aluminum components, then it's going to oxidize and start breaking down the aluminum with the alcohol phase of the ethanol.
Exactly. And I take my cars out. I like to drive at least I'll drive both of them at least once a week somewhere. You know, I'll drive one to work, or I'll drive it out on the weekend, mm-hmm. or whatever, and just to keep things going. The worst thing you can ever do for a car is just let it sit.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it runs better. Everything works better if you just get in and use it.
Keep everything lubricated at all, yep. on it, you know?
Yep. You keep all the moisture burned off everything. Mine stay inside a garage, but even at that point, it is still is going to get some kind of moisture built
sure,
up in
you'll
the
get
systems.
To, yeah.
So
condensation is going to get to it, you know, from the moisture in the air.
Right, right. So brakes work better, you know. Transmissions work better. Seals stay sealed up better.
Right, right. Hey, you know, you're talking about that. I noticed I've had my buddy's Corvette over at the house there for a while, mm-hmm. and every time I'd walk by it, I'd look at just casually look at the brakes and look at the rotors, and they're rusted.
Right.
You know, but it sit there like 2 days, and they rust.
Right.
Is that common now?
Well, it's extremely common, and, you know, the thing is it's always done it, but, you know, nowadays with the cars with the big open –
right,
open yeah. spoked wheels. You can see it.
You can see it. We couldn't see yeah. it before.
Right, you couldn't see it before.
Well, now will the brake pads scuff that off immediately?
Yeah, and you pretty much first time you hit your brakes, you know it's going to go away. At least by the second time, it's normally gone.
Okay,
you know they're if you let it sit in one spot for too long, you'll actually get a pulsation problem because. The big problem there is the whole rotor doesn't rust, just the part that's exposed.
Mm-hmm.
So the part where the brake pads are sitting is still clean.
Oh, so okay. So that would cause you to have a pulsation in your brakes.
Right, because you'll end up with a slick spot right there where the pads are and a pitted spot
yeah.
you know, on the rest of the rotor. Of course, now, if you got a Corvette, if you get one of the really expensive ones, you can have the carbon fiber brakes, and they
ooh.
Won't rake. They won't rust.
Oh yeah, so, but I don't want to have to buy those. I don't want to have to buy those rotors and pads, though.
Yeah, I mean you can get into some very expensive brake jobs on those for sure. But it looks neat. Yeah, it's a very neat little setup, and they can take the heat if you really
it's
want
like
to get out there and
play.
Like
we heard the other day, that Jaguar had a $2,200 brake job, and the Beamers were the $2,000 brake job.
Yeah, it's. It
that's
runs
not carbon
about that,
fiber even.
And those aren't even carbon fiber.
Right,
so
yeah.
it's you know, carbon fiber sounds expensive because it is.
Oh
you
yeah,
know, it's
well, know. The fight or die guys were in a carbon fiber boat, you know, out
yeah.
there rowing across the you know the Atlantic.
Yeah,
and they've got about I think it's four layers of carbon fiber, but
mm-hmm.
they have like two layers have foam between them so that it makes it a floatable.
Right.
Boat that they're in.
Right, right.
But that stuff is tough, you know.
It'll take a beating. You know, we've had, we've used carbon fiber components on our race cars over the years. It's something that they've kind of outlawed here over the last few years, so we don't use it anymore. But we used to use, you know, fenders and hood and that. And you could actually, you could wad them up pretty good and just pop them loose and they'll go right back
they'll
where they're supposed to be. As long as you didn't
form.
Rip it in two, it
right.
pretty
okay.
much will go back to the form it was supposed to be in. Yeah. So, yeah, it costs you a little more up front, but, you know, most of the time you can salvage it easier.
Well, with that being said, would the brakes last longer if you had carbon fiber brakes and rotors?
Well, you don't get the warpage problem and you don't get a lot of the other issues.
What about the wear factor, though?
The wear factor is really not bad. They don't wear into the rotor. You know, even if you wear the pads, a lot of times you can put pads on it and not have to change the rotors, where if you have the performance steel rotors, you know, they will wear pretty significantly because they're a soft rotor and they're designed to wear out about the same time the pad does.
Oh, okay.
You know? Just kind of one of the things that they've done with brakes over the last several years. They've figured out that, you know, harder's not always better on making one stop because you don't get near the grip of the pad
right,
on the
right.
on the rotor itself.
But and you have more of a tendency with those harder brakes and harder rotors too, because you get a lot of squealing and no and brake noise.
Yeah, and you know. We have some of our performance cars with the Brembo brakes and some of the top-end brake systems on them that customers will comment sometimes about brake noise here and there. And unfortunately, it's kind of a product of the of what you've got there. You know, it's I think I mentioned on the show even last week about the you can make a brake pad to either be quiet 100% or you make it stop.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You
know,
you can't do both.
That's when you use the carpet.
Yeah, the carpet on the brake pad. Yeah, that. Yeah, it'd be quiet.
It would be quiet, but it wouldn't stop.
It ain't gonna stop you nowhere.
No,
it ain't gonna stop you. But
nope. Okay.
But anyway, I think we're running up towards the end of our show tonight. But I do want to thank everybody for listening in and calling in. Hopefully we got a
come by to see you at UJ.
Oh yeah, come by to see us at UJ. We
Chevrolet.
We'll be here.
Come find me because you're not gonna find me.
I'm there. Seems like all the time.
I don't punch a clock anymore.
Seems like I'm there all the time. So you can come by and see me. I'll be there. But I do want to thank everybody for listening.
And we'd like to thank all of our vets out there and our first responders. And we appreciate all the things that you guys have done and the things that you do. God bless you. And a big hoorah.